Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, March the 15th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A mass nationwide student walkout to protest gun violence. Also on our rundown, a bill will restore voting rights to parolees and some detainees. And place, race, and health. How is your community doing? First, our top story, the New York Times sized it up this way. A month ago, hundreds of teenagers ran for their lives from the hallways and classrooms of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. On Wednesday, they walked. The Times reports so did their peers in New York City, in Chicago, Atlanta, Santa Monica, at Columbine High School, and in Newtown, Connecticut. From West Virginia, Dan Hyman reports there is a strong link between mass shootings and domestic violence. That's according to an analysis of 7 years of shootings by Everytown for Gun Safety.
The study found the majority involved domestic or family violence. In more than 4 out of 10 cases, the killer showed red flags, attempts or acts of violence, substance abuse, or violations of protective orders. Aaron Dunn with Branch's Domestic Violence Shelter in Huntington isn't surprised. He says it fits a pattern known far too well among those working to curb domestic violence.
Domestic violence does not exist in a vacuum, right? So that's not the first person they've abused. It's not going to be the last person they've abused. It's something that pervades our work, honestly. There is that pattern that it's not just one thing. It builds on another.
Everytown looked at the more than 150 cases between 2009 and 2016 where 4 or more people were killed, not including the shooter. Gun advocates argue more firearms would prevent cases like those.
A bill just passed the House that includes grants aimed at helping schools and police identify signs of potential violence. That legislation now moves to the U.S. Senate. And a bill to restore the vote to thousands of Connecticut residents is getting a hearing in the General Assembly today.
The Government Administration and Elections Committee is hearing testimony on HB 5418. If passed, the bill would give some 4,000 people who are in custody but have not been convicted of a crime access to ballots, and it would restore voting rights to another 3,000 who are on parole. According to Kennard Ray with the Full Citizen Coalition to Unlock the Vote, the legislation would bring Connecticut's voting rights laws into line with every other state in New England.
Both Vermont and Maine do not restrict voting rights at any time, even for folks that are incarcerated. And Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island have all included folks that are on parole.
10 other states and the District of Columbia also allow people who are on parole to vote. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The hearing on House Bill 5418 is scheduled to begin at 11 this morning at the Legislative Office Building in Hartford. Health professionals have released their fifth compilation of data and reports showing the risk of fracking. Eric Tegedoff explains.
Over the past 5 editions, scientific and medical findings in the compendium have grown, adding weight to the argument that oil and gas drilling are harming communities. One of the authors of the report, Sandra Steingraber, is a biologist and co-founder of Concerned Health Professionals of New York. She says people near fracking sites face the same kind of health risks, whether they're in Texas, Pennsylvania, or North Dakota.
We see signs of respiratory distress among people living close to drilling and fracking sites. Most alarming to us, we see signs of impaired development among newborns born to pregnant women whose residences are close to drilling and fracking sites during their pregnancies.
Steingraber says there are increased rates of illness and cancer near fracking sites and that there are greater risks to the air and water. Radioactive waste also is a concern. She says there are more than 1,000 studies on fracking and that 85% show harm is being done from the practice. The American Petroleum Institute disputes these reports. It says fracking is safe and also provides economic benefits to communities.
And finally, Roz Brown tells us if you want to know how healthy your county is, check your zip code.
For the 9th year, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute have released a report that shows how nearly every county in the United States is doing and what gaps persist. The report looks at more than 30 factors that influence how long and how well people live. Some of those include smoking, alcohol and drug use, obesity, high school graduation rates, and income inequality. This year, the rankings reveal the gaps that persist, not only by place, but also among racial and ethnic groups. Matt Trujillo with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation says people of color are disproportionately affected when it comes to health and well-being.
In order for folks to live the healthiest life possible, it's important to remove barriers, things like residential segregation, low-paying jobs, poor quality education so that everyone does have that equal opportunity to be healthy.
Trujillo says rural counties still struggle more than urban counties to provide equal opportunities. He notes that in 2016, the unemployment rate for adults in the bottom performing counties was 7.5% compared with 3.2% for adults in the top performing counties. When it comes to education, the report shows that one out of every five youths in bottom performing counties does not graduate from high school in 4 years. And that figure climbs to one in four for American Indian, Alaskan Native. Some communities have successfully employed strategies to close the opportunity gap.
One of which is Kansas City, that have really taken a concerted effort to address disparities and had community coalitions, community members speak with each other to address the issue of disparities head on.
The report shows that unfair bank lending practices and property tax-based school funding formulas contribute to racial disparities. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.